from the studios of WAER.
And he's standing up into the goal line. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle gets a screen, pull up, he's good. Tyus Battle from 20 feet, and with 2.5 on the clock, Syracuse leads by one.
Long outlet pass, Ryan Simmons inside. He scores the game winner. Give the assist to Don Madonna. Syracuse wins 11-10.
Comes the Ostrom Avenue podcast.
To Boeheim, quick trigger three from the top. He knocks it down, and we're tied at Spectrum Center.
15 left. He shoots and scores. Tucker Dornovic.
Perhaps the biggest upset in program history comes on Friday the 13th.
And now, your hosts, Brendan Mortensen and Owen Valentine.
Syracuse had a massive opportunity to upset Florida State on the road on Saturday. Couldn't get it done, falling just short, 80-77. And next up tonight, another massive opportunity for an upset on the road at Louisville. I'm Brendan Mortensen alongside Owen Valentine and Ben Shulman. And let's start with that Florida State game. Like I said, Syracuse comes up just short, gave it all they had. Elijah Hughes played hurt, presumably, for most of the game, still puts up 25 points. Joe Girard with 22. A good performance overall from the Orange, but just couldn't get it done.
Is that not the story of the season? I mean, one of those games where it's back and forth. Florida State has a big lead. Syracuse comes back, takes a lead. They're up by four with 2 minutes left to play, and they just can't finish it out. They don't have that cutthroat tenacity to them, and it's really lost them, I'm going to say, the bulk of their ACC games and maybe even a couple of games here and there before that. And it's just, it's been that Achilles heel for Syracuse. The last 4 minutes of the half, the end of the half, since that fatigue sets in, and they're just not able to hit that big shot or get that big stop that can propel them to a big win.
Yeah, I think you look at the last two games together, really, NC State and Florida State, and Syracuse is in position. NC State, they're leading for a lot of it, but they're in position in both games to potentially win late. They needed one of the two. Like, they could have survived with the NC State win and a Florida State loss or vice versa, but instead they dropped both, and three-point shooting really hurt them both times. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cuse only shot 28% against Florida State, and it's unfortunate, but you have to look at Buddy Boeheim, a guy who looked like he had found a level of consistency for a lot of the year. You can't go scoreless in 33 minutes, miss all five of your threes when you're one of the better sharpshooters in the conference and maybe the country.
Boeheim right wing three, of course not. He's 0 for 7 today. Buddy having his worst shooting slump of the season.
And he's played a great season so far, but these last two games where you really needed him to step up, especially in that NC State game where Hughes goes out early, you need to be that guy. You're the experience. You should be the best player on the court for Syracuse, and that wasn't the case. Yes, he finishes with 10, but that was a very weak 10 and a kind of a late padded 10 to get to that number. And then against Florida State, a big goose egg, just was basically a non-factor on the court and unable to get things going all game. It's been that two-game stretch where Syracuse has needed him most, and he has completely fallen flat.
And it's really been Joe Girard who's been stepping up kind of in that Buddy Boeheim role that was supposed to be stepping up. I mean, Joe Girard against Florida State, 22 points. That's good for second on the team. Also led the team in rebounds and assists.
Gets it to Boeheim. Thought about the three. Cross-court pass. Girard three. It's in! A three-point lead for Syracuse with 5:30 to play.
This is an awesome game from Joe Girard, and he's been really awesome the last few games. But you said it, Owen. I mean, the last few games, Syracuse has just had these games in their hands in the second half, and then it falls away. I mean, you lose by 1 point at Clemson, lose by 5 to NC State, lose by 3 to Florida State. If those close games go Syracuse's way, this is an entirely different season.
Oh, yeah.
We are looking at this Louisville game from an entirely different perspective. That Syracuse probably doesn't need this game. But now the Orange are in a position where they absolutely need to win at Louisville tonight.
Well, you look at the games since the turn of the new year, that first loss to Notre Dame, very winnable. Virginia Tech, you blow that late lead. This is like, I feel like I talk about this every show because it basically just every time there's a game between shows, that same case is just brought up. You keep going through the schedule. Clemson was very winnable. You're up 7 early against Duke, albeit early against a very good team. But you were in control early on, and then NC State and Florida State, you've got blown opportunities, chances that you should be able to execute at least once or twice in that stretch, and they're unable to. You look at the five losses that we just – or is it six losses? Yeah, the six losses I just went over, they're all very winnable aspects for Syracuse. Maybe if you want to take that Duke game out of the picture because the second half was what it was, but that's five losses that you had in your hands and really could have changed the outcome of, and you weren't able to get that big shot down the stretch. You're really – you know, just have that moment where you're saying, you know what, not today. This is not going to be your time. We're not going to blow another lead. In these four losses, the last four losses for Syracuse, SU's been outscored by 36 points in the last 4 minutes. That's where they've lost.
That's
the game.
Not good.
And I think rebounding has to do a lot with that. I mean, if they go cold at all from the three-point line, and you're getting dominated, the amount that Syracuse was dominated by Florida State, I mean, 47 rebounds for the Seminoles, just 29 for the Orange. I did call a big game from Raekwon Gray, and that didn't really happen. he was 0 for 8 from the field, but he had the game-high 10 rebounds. You know,
okay.
Like, yeah, he was still a force. Yeah, I mean, that's a big man, and he was pretty much having his way on the glass.
Yeah, and late in the game, you know, we see a lot of scrambles for rebounds, especially in these close games, and they're long rebounds for Syracuse, and because they give up a ton of three-point attempts as well, they're long rebounds for the other team. The Orange are just... they're just not sure enough around their own basket, and that's the cause for a lot of concern throughout the year. I think with the exception of maybe NC State, pretty much every team that Syracuse has lost to has had a dominant big man, whether it's Raekwon Gray being that guy, or it's John Mooney, or it's Vernon Carey. The three-point shooting can mask a lot of what they were doing, and it was earlier in the year when Boeheim and Elijah and Gerard at times were shooting the lights out, but... at this point, it looks like they can't just shoot their way out of every single game.
Syracuse hasn't lost a game that they've been out of, like with no chance of winning, since December 14th at Georgetown.
Yeah.
Syracuse was never really in control of that game. There was never a point. I mean, yes, Syracuse outscored the Hoyas in the second half, but there was never a point in that game, like in the second half, where you were like, yeah, Syracuse is winning this game.
No, I mean...
That's the last one that I can think of.
They make it really painful.
Mm-hmm. Like. It's always close. They're in all these games, and that's why I don't think you can completely count them out against Louisville, but that could be the game where they finally are, you know what, exposed start to finish. But this has been a two-game stretch, and even, I mean, they've lost four of the last five, a stretch where, and especially in NC State and Florida State, you need three-point shooting. And... for it to fall so flat in those two games where one or two threes would have been the difference in them winning both of those games is so tough to see. And because it is, they are such deflating losses to the season because of when they came and who they came against, that it makes it even more difficult. You've got a very, very troublesome stretch of two games where you weren't able to connect from three or really get anything going from beyond the arc. You've got... and it really exposes what Syracuse was. That NC State game, you've got no Elijah Hughes, and you've only got two players that attempt a shot. And it's a combined 3 for 18 from beyond the arc. That's not what you want. That's not what's going to win you games. But it does show that without Hughes, Syracuse loses probably, I mean, outside of when Buddy is hot, Hughes is that best three-point option. I feel like he's been one of the best shooters in the ACC, especially, I mean, when he gets that little groove going as well. He can fire from anywhere, even with those contested shots too. And when you lose him, it's such a big deal. And playing a little bit probably under 100% against Florida State was still that case. Syracuse only shooting, I think it was 28% from beyond the arc against Florida State. Yep. You're going to need to figure that out. You're going to need threes from all of the three shooters that you have because there isn't another three-point option. If Gerard, Hughes, and Boeheim aren't going at some sort of mediocre clip or better, it's going to put Syracuse in a terrible spot, and that's what you saw against Florida State and NC State. They were even lucky to be in those games the way they shot from three.
And Florida State was 44% from three.
Yeah.
On the other side, they are hitting their threes, and Syracuse just isn't.
I mean, a lot of these games, you know, this team, obviously, we know, just isn't fully built. Mm-hmm. They're missing pieces that they need, and they have a lot of youth. But at the end of the day, there were just enough opportunities for them to win games in the last month, and they didn't take any of them.
Yeah.
You know, in you can count Duke out, but in Clemson, NC State, and Florida State, and we said earlier, they needed a win. Like, mm-hmm. they needed to close out one of these games. they did their job in January, and they've run into a really tough February with, I would say some people would argue, not a chance anymore to make the tournament. I would argue that they, still, I mean, of course, still the ACC tournament, but with some people would argue with a very slim to none chance to make the tournament at this point.
Correct. I think you could argue that if Syracuse wins this game at Louisville tonight, and wins out, that puts you at 21 wins at the end of the regular season. Then if you make a run in the ACC tournament, maybe not have to win the ACC tournament, but if you make a decent run in the ACC tournament, you would have to think Syracuse makes a chance. And there is a decent case to be made that starting this Saturday, February 22nd, home against Georgia Tech, Syracuse should win the remaining five games on the schedule. That's home against Georgia Tech, at Pittsburgh, home against North Carolina, at Boston College, at Miami. Those are five should-win, need-to-win games for Syracuse, but it starts tonight against Louisville, the 11th-ranked team in the country, dropped from number five because of two straight losses to not-great ACC teams.
No.
Louisville drops one against Georgia Tech on February 12th, a 64-58 loss, and then against Clemson on Saturday, a 77-62 loss, where the Cardinals get outscored 31-14 in the first half. All of a sudden, this is a vulnerable Louisville team?
Here's where, where it's so tough for Syracuse is when you look at Louisville's schedule and you hear that they lose to two mediocre ACC teams.
Right, we're talking about a Clemson team.
That needed to be Syracuse. That needed to be Syracuse. They needed to be in this lull. And maybe Louisville stays in this rut that they've kind of dug themselves, and it's three straight losses. But that's a tough spot for Syracuse to be in. You do not want to see a two straight loss Louisville team. You want to be there when they're on that 12-game winning streak, that 10-game winning streak that they were on, where, you know, maybe they are a little bit more vulnerable. Now they're ready. They want blood. They want to be able to come out and get that win, because this is a team that's now dropping from a 2-3 seed in the tournament to a 4 or 5. And that's a huge drop and a huge discrepancy in where they could be. And maybe I went too low with a 5 seed. But, I mean, in terms of tournament seeding, these are two huge losses. And if you drop a third straight to Syracuse, I think you are a 5 seed. At the best, unless you're going to win an ACC tournament.
Right, and that's it. Yes, those two losses to Georgia Tech and Clemson can kind of show a blueprint for how Syracuse, a middle-of-the-road ACC team, can win this game. But at the same time, if you're looking at Louisville and you see three straight losses against Georgia Tech, Clemson, and Syracuse, you're maybe not thinking, wow, Syracuse won an impressive game. Now maybe you're thinking, what's wrong with Louisville?
Yeah.
I think could hurt Syracuse a lot.
Yeah, I think the place there where you may recover some ground, though, is definitely with Louisville playing Florida State later in the season. Because I think definitely Syracuse is kind of in a bad spot. I agree. Mm-hmm. Clemson, there are a couple times this year that Clemson has picked up wins that Syracuse really needed to pick up.
Dude, but and Louisville.
Yeah.
And if you merge Clemson and Syracuse's resumes, golden.
Clemson's golden. All the upset power with none of the consistency. And right now the Orange, for some reason, are all the consistency with none
no
of the
upset
upsets.
Power, yeah.
But I think Louisville, I think there is a chance here. If Syracuse can knock down Louisville, Louisville's going to take on UNC, go to Florida State, Virginia Tech, and then go to Virginia.
Exactly.
If they win out those four games, which would be a bit of an ask after a three-game losing streak, but they're still the Louisville Cardinals, they could.
Oh, yeah.
Then I think Syracuse is in a good spot. Then Louisville's probably either in or around the top 10. They're going to be a 2 or 3 seed in the tournament, and I think that looks good. But you know, the third team to catch them when they're bad, I think, is a bad spot to be in. Because,
correct,
you know, they got shocked by Georgia Tech. They came out slow against Clemson because, you know, sometimes it's hard to rebound from games like that. And Clemson's not really maybe that big opponent that they could have had to rebound. But now it doesn't matter who they're playing. This game is serious. Louisville's lost 2 in a row. So I'm expecting everything they have. And in many ways, they're a version of Florida State that's better built to take on Syracuse than the Seminoles.
Louisville shoots 38% from 3 on the season.
Yeah.
In those two losses, they shot 9 for 51 from 3. That's 18%. That's 20% worse than their season average.
That's not going to happen again.
Huge anomalies.
Yeah, exactly. And they're back-to-back, and they come in this kind of crazy sweep of minutes where you've got your two best bigs in Jordan Wara and Steven Enoch, who are going to combine to average 7 points and 9.5 rebounds in that two-game stretch. That's not what you get out of them. When you look at those two guys, they're averaging a combined nearly 30 points per game and 12.5 rebounds per game. That's a huge dip. So to combine those two dips in performance with how poorly they shot from three, it was the perfect storm for that lower-tier ACC team to get those upset wins. I don't think you can expect that again this season, two performances simultaneously as bad from inside and out of Louisville, unless there's been some crazy switch that we just are not ready for and have not anticipated at all. They're going to come back, and even if one of those two things is working, whether it's Warren and Enoch inside or it's the guys around the arc hitting threes and really coming back to the percentages that they've been at all season, if one of those two things happens, it puts Syracuse in a tough spot, and they're going to struggle to get a win against a really, really good team.
Yeah, and we're not talking they averaged 7 points a game over the last two games. We're talking
a combined
Jordan
Wara
and Steven Enoch combined for 7 points a game.
Yeah.
Over the two. A total of 14 points over the last two games for the two best players on the team, which is absurd. But, I mean, we're looking at this Louisville game, and realistically, if Syracuse does not beat Louisville, you probably have to win the ACC tournament. And yeah. So the reason that we've gone so much over Florida State and Louisville is because these are far and away the two most important games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like every game for Syracuse, the next game is the most important game of the season. But if you don't beat Louisville, I mean, you pretty much just got to win out. And this Louisville game is crucial. And let's look at the Cardinals a little bit more. Third in the ACC in scoring at 74.8 points a game. Third in the ACC in scoring defense and 63.9 points per game given up. Second in the ACC in scoring margin. First in the ACC in field goal percentage. Third in the ACC in offensive rebounding. Second in the ACC in rebounding. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that they are really, really good at everything.
Yeah, they are.
Everything.
The only
bad stat that jumps out from Louisville is that they're 12th in the ACC in turnover margin,
mm-hmm.
which, again, could be big for Syracuse. But in the two games that Louisville has lost, the turnovers really haven't been a problem. Louisville had 7 turnovers against Clemson. Clemson had 8. And against Georgia Tech, Louisville had 16 turnovers, but Georgia Tech had 18. So the turnovers haven't even been the issue for the Cardinals in the last two games. But they are pretty much great at everything else.
Yeah, even the turnover margin stat, like they're bad at turnover margin in the good way. It's just that they don't force that many steals, but they're not going to cough up the ball very much. They're pretty middle of the pack in terms of them turning over the basketball. And I really think what you get from Louisville that maybe we didn't see from Florida State is just going to be overwhelming size. You know,
yeah.
Enoch is much larger than any guy that we have to cover. 6'10", 260 pounds. He's averaging nearly 10 points and 6 rebounds. Dwayne Sutton, both of these guys are seniors. Sutton's averaging 9 points and 8 rebounds, and he's just
6'5". 6'5", 215.
I mean, Nuora is heavier than anyone on the roster already.
Yeah. Malik Williams, 6'11", 245.
Yeah, like, there are multiple guys on this roster that the Orange have no one for, which is a common theme throughout the season, but
yeah.
I think you're going to see a big performance out of Nuora, too. He didn't start last game because, you know, we had talked about it a bit before the show.
Yeah.
There's some weird sort of, you know, the coach
Chris Mack
feel.
Trying to light the fire underneath him, get him to have that energy, something. But when you've dropped two straight, I don't know if you can keep your best player, arguably an ACC Player of the Year candidate. Maybe he's dropped out after this last two-game skid. But I don't think you can keep him on the bench to start a game after you've dropped two straight, where a third loss to a third middle-of-the-pack ACC team would just sound the alarm, panic button, question marks around Louisville, because that would be a terrible loss for them.
Speaking of keeping a star on the bench, we forgot to mention about this Florida State game that Devin Vassell did not play.
Yeah.
Wasn't hurt, just a coach's decision to sit him out. Apparently he was like late to a team meeting or something,
some
like
rule
broke
violation.
Some team rule. So that's something important to note, too. Syracuse, yes, falls just short at Florida State, but that's without the best player.
A golden opportunity, really. Like
right.
They've had, I mean, down the stretch, and we talked about at least post-game on the double overtime, that NC State game, it seemed like everything besides the physical way Syracuse played was trying to propel them to victory down the stretch. You've got a double lane violation, possession change, arrow points to Syracuse in a position where it would have made the game out of reach, and they just couldn't get that shot. Everything besides the way they physically played wanted Syracuse to win, and the same happens when you go to Florida State and Vassell doesn't play. Everything, I mean, the basketball gods want Syracuse to get one of these wins, and Syracuse just can't pull it out down the stretch. Maybe something crazy happens and Wara stays on the bench for Louisville to start the game.
We can only hope.
But I can't imagine that happens. The way that Louisville's dropped these last two games with just poor performances from him and Enoch, I don't think you can expect that the bigs kind of fall flat completely again. But it is interesting. And it is interesting to see how, I mean, especially with a team like Louisville, I was just blown away by the utter depth that they have scoring-wise.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at their season stats, you've got Wara averaging 18 to lead the team, and I believe that's second in the ACC now behind Hughes, which has he was number one until this last two-game skid. After him, you've got seven players that average between 4 and 10 points per game. Anyone can score. Anyone can step up. You've got so many options outside of Wara. Obviously, he's option one. But when you dip past him, there are so many other options to score. You've got two guys averaging 9+ per game, two guys averaging 8+ per game, and then four guys. Look at me. It was eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 players outside of Wara averaging between 4 and 9. 2 guys at 9, 2 guys at 8, and then 4 guys averaging between 4 and 7. There's so much distributed scoring, so many options, so much depth, which is the complete parallel to what you've seen out of Syracuse these last few games. It seems like now more than ever this season, the depth is really being brought up and questioned a little bit. I wanted to ask you guys, maybe before we got on air, but I'll just throw it to you now. I've seen it a lot on Twitter. Is depth becoming too big of an issue for Syracuse right now? Is there not enough production? Not production. Are there not enough bench minutes? Because it seems like the fatigue has been setting in at the end of every half. And I mentioned earlier, the last four losses, Syracuse outscored by 40 or 36 in the last 4 minutes. And I just saw a stat this morning. I can't shout you out because I don't remember who tweeted it. But in the last 30 seconds of the first half, Syracuse is 0-for-12 from the field.
That's not good.
Yeah, they have bad end-of-frame stats.
Yeah,
really bad.
Is that a fatigue thing? Or
I don't know if it's a lack of depth thing. I would like to see a guy like Bryson Goodine get some more minutes.
Correct. Yeah.
Ideally, you don't want to see Jesse Edwards getting a bunch of minutes. Again, nothing against Jesse Edwards, but you'd just
The reason he gets minutes is because of foul trouble. Yeah.
Right. So you got to want to save Jesse Edwards for late in the game when you inevitably need him when Brahma Sidibe falls out. I'd like to see a little bit more of Bryson Goodine. Like to see a little bit more of Howard Washington. No, they're not the biggest threats offensively, but even if it's just a little change of pace to get Boeheim or Girard off the floor for a few minutes. I mean, it's so astounding with Girard. I've said this a few times this season, just how the narrative has changed with him. I mean, the beginning of the year, Joe Girard starts as a guy who you think is going to be a spark piece off the bench, and now he's being asked to play 38 minutes and put up 20 points a game as the Syracuse starting point guard as a freshman. I mean, his role has changed exponentially, but I don't think it's a depth problem, but I would like to see a little bit more minutes go to a Bryson Goodine, because I think he's a good change of pace from Buddy Boeheim and Joe Girard.
Yeah, I don't think it's the depth necessarily as much as the minutes distribution and the fatigue setting in, because they have the numbers, and it's a tough spot for Syracuse, because when you really look at the situation with the bigs in terms of Dolezal and Sidibe, Gary is your only one who can come in. So if one of those three is in foul trouble, then it kind of really puts you in a troublesome spot where you do have to go to Edwards, who is still very raw. And yes, I love the potential out of him, and he's had his moments, but he's not the option you want in there. I'm okay with him getting a little bit of run towards the end of a half maybe or early on to get someone else into that mixer and maybe take someone out of a game where they could be into foul trouble or something like that. But it's troublesome down low when you've only got three guys, and two of the guys, I mean, with Guerrier, it's been all season excluding the last two games. And Sidibe, it's been pretty much every game where they've just been in foul trouble consistently, which makes you really have to work down low and play those bulk minutes. And that's where the fatigue sets in. I'd love to see a little bit more. Maybe you give Edwards a little bit more run. If they can stay out of foul trouble, then it's the golden situation. But up at the guards, I would like to see a little bit more out of Howard Washington, Bryson Goodine. Because when you look at that Florida State game, Goodine came in right around that same time where Syracuse had that little comeback run and started to really kind of find its stride in this game. So maybe, and there's other factors, obviously, but when you look at what he did and he was just on the court, and maybe that was the little spark and the things he was doing helped propel Syracuse a little bit closer into this game.
Yeah, I think the depth in the backcourt is fine, but I am worried about the front court depth. I think for a couple reasons. The fouls have been a problem. You don't want to see a ton of Jesse down the stretch, as good as he has been in relation to, of course, being a freshman and just not having that much experience. But they've been pretty fortunate in the front court with health so far. If any of those guys went down, they would be – I mean, the Orange would have nothing, really. Like, it would be tough because they're two – especially, like, if Dolezal got hurt and the two Fowlers – no offense to them, but Guerrier and Sidibe got in the game, you know, I'm not even sure who would be the next two, like Edwards and then who he's going to go to next. Because
I don't know if there is another option.
If Goodine comes in and they go
on
really
red
small.
Shirt John Bolajac, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you're not going to burn his red shirt.
Especially the way the season's going.
No, you're definitely not. So I think that they've been a little fortunate at times. I think the guard thing can be solved by just playing more guys. I think the shots missed near the end of the halves are often not the bigs. And I think the bigs fatigue-wise are fine. They, like, Sidibe and Guerrier both played, you know, 25 to 30 minutes at most.
Right. But how about Guerrier averaging less than 3 personal fouls a game in the conference?
Yeah.
Just going to throw
that's
that
huge.
Out there.
That's huge. Is that per 40 or per game?
Not per game. Not per 40. He had 3,022 last game, which isn't great, but things considered, it's better. But one thing I was going to ask, actually, just when we got into this conversation, wondering, we don't want to see a ton of Edwards down the stretch. Well, what would you think of bringing in Edwards before Sidibe got into foul trouble and Guerrier got into foul trouble?
Is there a before Sidibe gets into foul trouble?
Maybe not.
I don't know if there's a before.
But maybe sometimes, like, you sub Edwards in near the end of the first half when you're going to yank Sidibe out.
Maybe.
And maybe you give,
but,
I don't
but
know.
But Guerrier's been good about not getting into foul trouble. I would just rather play Guerrier for a bunch of minutes rather than put in Jesse Edwards.
That's true. Yeah. Guerrier's been a lot better recently. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the one of the bright spots in the Florida State game.
In NC State, he stayed out of foul trouble the whole game.
He scored in double digits in both of those games when Boeheim wasn't doing much. I think Guerrier had 13 in the last game, which was good.
And 16 against NC State.
Yeah, he's shooting a little better from the free throw line. Still has some defensive ground to make up, I would say, but I think offensively, it looks like things are starting to kind of slow down for him a lot.
So, our Syracuse tangents aside, let's try to circle back to the Louisville game tonight a little bit. Louisville has lost, like we said, the last two to really mediocre ACC teams in Georgia Tech and Clemson. I'll ask this question to both of you guys. Is this a case of Louisville just had two bad games where their two best players did not play well, and that's the only reason they lost these basketball games? Or is there some blueprint that Syracuse can take from Georgia Tech or from Clemson that kind of points to a, hey, if you can do this against Louisville, you've got a chance at winning this game? Is there anything that jumps out as Georgia Tech and Clemson did this well? Or is it just Louisville's just off and they'll get back on track?
I want to be able to pinpoint something. And I'm sure there are some underlying things that were done. And obviously they're – oh, God, I can't. I really do just think that this is a case of Louisville playing maybe its two worst games of the season back-to-back. You're not really going to catch the perfect storm of everything going wrong. It's like Murphy's Law in these last two games for them. Anything that can go wrong will. Your two worst players don't show up. They're not playing
well. Two best players, you mean?
Did I say two worst?
Yes.
Well, they looked like the two worst in the last two games. Yeah. Your two best players do not show up completely, and the supporting cast goes cold from three. That's really, really troublesome, especially when you look at the two best players on this team are your bigs, the interior presence, who are really good. And yes, you play a smaller lineup to begin with, but these bigs are probably one of the top, if not, you could argue, the top 4-5 combo in the ACC. These guys are unbelievable. They play really consistently well outside of this two-game stretch, which means that the other guys, your three-point shooters, your guards, your threes, are going to have to step up and hit some shots. And they did a little bit.
Ryan McMahon goes 3 of 16 from three.
Yeah,
over
they
the
go
last two
ice
games.
Cold from three. It was, I said, they combined 9 of 51 from three. And that's not like, that's not a small sample size of threes where you just stopped, you know, a three-point attack. They just missed. They went cold. So if Syracuse, I think the key for them is, you know, you're going to have to test your luck. You're going to have to test your luck and maybe gamble a little bit and take away the inside, because the inside is where you have lost game in and game out this season. And Jim Boeheim even mentioned it. Usually when you look at the 2-3 zone, you get torched from someone or a team as a whole getting hot from three. That hasn't been the case this year. Syracuse, whether it's a good job defending the three or teams just not shooting well from three or not needing to shoot threes, has not really been torched by a three-point shooting performance this season. But they have been torched in basically all of their losses by somebody playing well on the inside, whether it's a someone coming up to the top of the paint or the top of the key in the high post and picking the zone apart from there, or if it's just them getting bodied by bigs and bigs having their career night against Syracuse. It's that tough little combo. If Syracuse can take away the high post, which I feel like is going to be Louisville's key to the game and also Syracuse's key to the game. For Louisville, you want to attack through the high post. I think they've got great personnel to be able to expose Syracuse from there, whether the zone crashes and you get a three or the five steps up or the wings step up and you've got someone in the short corner. That's the key for Louisville. If you're Syracuse, you've got to deny into that high post, because if they get in there, they're going to be able to tear you apart, as you've seen so many times. So for Syracuse, I think if you can get a takeaway from there, it is that by taking away the bigs and forcing them to shoot, it might be your best chance at having a victory and getting the big upset.
Yeah, there are not many things to look at, I will say.
It's a struggle to think of, like, what did they both do besides the fact that they played
Louisville
a terrible basketball
a lot of shots.
Game.
Yeah. I think if you look at it, the one thing I can take away is maybe from the Clemson game, and this is a lot easier said than done, but start fast. Like, you have to, you can't, this isn't one of the games where you hang around and take it near the end, and that has not been working for the Orange this year. I think you need to come out of the gate and take a big lead or take a decent lead and have Louisville thinking, like, here we go again. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, from a talent standpoint, they're overmatched.
Yeah.
And from a size standpoint, they're definitely overmatched. But Clemson, the way that they had beaten a couple teams this year was just getting on big runs and they can go. And the Orange have a team that can get on big runs. They need Buddy Boeheim to shoot well.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can jump out to an early lead, I think they can take control of the game. And then, you know, making sure that you rebound near the end of the game.
You look at that Clemson game, up 13, 7 minutes in.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Georgia Tech game, up 10, 4 minutes in. They came out from the start, and that was something brought up by Chris Mack, and that was one of the reasons that Wara didn't get the start in that second game, is because he wants that quick start, and they haven't been able to bring it, and they have not gotten off to a really good start in those two games. They've really been ice cold to start the game, and they haven't been able to build up enough steam after that. If Syracuse can get out to that lead, like you said, and you've seen them do it this season, mm-hmm. they have the firepower, they have the three-point shooting to do it. If Girard or Boeheim or Hughes can come out and just have one of those great first halves, like we've seen all of them do at different points throughout the season, put Syracuse in a really, really good spot.
Three of the top five scorers for Louisville outweigh every single Syracuse player. Jordan Wara at 225, Stephen Enoch at 260, Malik Williams at 245. And we're talking Quincy Guerrier is the heaviest player on Syracuse at 220. Jordan Wara, Stephen Enoch, and Malik Williams all outweigh him.
It's going to
be by
difficult.
A significant margin.
Yeah. This, I mean, this team.
Goodness.
This team is well built to beat Syracuse. Like what we had talked about.
Like literally well built.
We had
built.
Talked about like NC State, you know, they didn't really have a standout big. They weren't super well built. Florida State. But this team is well built to beat Syracuse. If I'm Jim Boeheim, I walk into the locker room and I say, welcome to the tournament. We have to win every game or we're out.
Yeah.
That's how they should treat the rest of the season. I mean, in theory, they could lose games and make it, but, you know, in most realms of reality, they're going to have to win pretty much every game for the rest of the season, and then some in the tournament, potentially.
It's either win tonight or win the ACC tournament. Yeah. The choice is up to Syracuse to make the tournament at
and
this
point.
And
my thought process, and I know you don't really ever do this in terms of a college basketball season, but if you lose to Louisville, work the bench. Figure out the depth situation. Get those guys that are playing marginal minutes in for bigger minutes because you want to have as many options as possible in the ACC tournament because the ACC tournament is the NCAA tournament this year. You said this game tonight is, which is 100% correct, but if you drop tonight, the rest of the season is basically irrelevant, but the ACC tournament is huge. Maybe you play the rest of the season because you can, you know, build up
your
seeding. Yeah, that's where it's going to be the key for Syracuse. If you can get a couple of buys and ease your way into a simpler ACC tournament title, but you've got three teams right on the verge of the top 10, two teams in, Louisville at number 11 with some upward potential left on the schedule. Maybe they drop a little bit. Maybe they go up. Who knows? But you've got three really tough games in there, and you don't want to have to, as you've seen Syracuse do, since joining the ACC, lose a should-win game early on because that's going to be the end of the season.
Yeah, and I think that's where I want to see a little more Jesse Edwards getting in if they drop this game. I still think that they should play similar to how they were before, but, yeah, add a little minutes for the rotation, guys, because as difficult as this sounds, Syracuse has to prepare for a post-Barama Sidibe world, and it's coming pretty soon. And hopefully it's led by either Edwards or John Bolajock. So,
because there's no one coming in.
Yeah, there's a.
Not the big man that you want to see coming in terms of the true, you know, heir to the center position where, and maybe I'm wrong, but there's just.
Darius Baisley's playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, exactly.
There's Woody Newton, but Woody Newton is more of a forward.
Correct. Yeah, there's not the big. And there hasn't been the big that's come in since, what, Rakeem Christmas, who was a four-year project? Not project, but, I mean, he was not a big, and really a dominant five until junior, senior year. It was not a from-the-start situation. You've got to bring somebody in. You've got to be able to figure this out because, and you know what, maybe Edwards, after an entire season and an off-season working, can make that step. And we really haven't seen anything from John Bolajock. There's a lot of question marks around him. He could be able to step up, but it's time to, you know, maybe you find a grad transfer if there is someone out there. But you got to bring something in or you've got to really work those guys.
Yeah, all maybe right. You check the transfer portal, you know, Elijah Hughes. Not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but Elijah Hughes, best
likely
player,
gone.
Got him from East Carolina. Maybe you can make another steal like that.
Yeah.
Circling back to this Louisville game again. Let's go with a show of hands. Who has Syracuse winning this basketball game tonight? Ben!
I'll put one.
Ben
put
with
one
the show of hands.
Gotta,
I mean,
this is the last chance.
Listen, the
to
show
be
of hands works great over a podcast. That's why I went with the show of hands. But a surprise hand from
I'll
Ben Schulman.
I'm usually pessimistic, but this is the last opportunity. And
they've been on the verge so many times.
This is, you know, we always say, like, they have to be, like, they have to keep, like, the slimmest chance. And as much as we've been, like, talking about, like, Florida State is the game or NC State is the game, this is really, like,
this is it.
We
promise
this
time.
And I know,
promise.
Like, last time we said this is it, but this is actually it. Like, this is the last ranked team.
I know
team
the last
play.
Seven times we've said this is the game, but this one is the game.
This is the game.
If they lose this, you know, there's pretty much no chance. If they still win this, then it's like that Dumb and Dumber scene where he's like, "So you're saying there's a chance?" And I think with their backs completely against the wall, they might be able to just pull it out today.
Unless the North Carolina team with Cole Anthony suddenly turns into a resume win, it's not.
I don't know.
Spoiler alert: it won't.
My big thing is I see this game going one of two ways. It's a 15-plus point loss or a Syracuse upset. I don't think it's going to be that close loss that you've seen. I think if Syracuse is close down the stretch, they're going to be able to pull this one off. But I think there's a chance, and a lot of people would agree, that Louisville comes out from the start with the firepower that has just been non-existent in the last two games but has been there throughout the majority of the season and just gets out to an early lead, kind of like maybe that first Virginia game where Syracuse, or even the second half against Duke, where Syracuse just couldn't pry itself out. The lead is just too much, and Syracuse is going to get that first loss where they really didn't have a chance in ACC play. It could be that game for them, but at the same time, if they come out cold and Syracuse comes out with a couple of threes early on and you get out to a 6 or 7 point lead in the first 5 minutes, then this is a very different game. It's going to be who starts faster, because whoever starts faster naturally will be in the driver's seat for the rest of the game. But I don't think that the team that starts fast is going to end up losing tonight.
We've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. This is the most vital game for Syracuse. You drop this game, NCAA tournament hopes might be down the drain. You pick it up, and maybe there's a chance. We'll see tonight starting at 7 o'clock. That's when tip-off is set for. Make sure you tune into WAER starting at 6. We've got a special hour-long countdown to tip-off. We've got a live host down at Louisville. It's going to be a ton of good content. You don't want to miss out. Make sure you're tuning in right at 6 o'clock. For Ben Shulman and Owen Valentine, I'm Brendan Mortensen. We'll get you next time.